Hi, I'm Brittany Ashley, your host of Breaking Norms, Building Dreams, your guide through this transformative journey in both business and life. This is your place crafted for dreamers, doers, or anyone who has been told they can't. Get ready as we challenge those narratives together. You're tuning in live to the United Public Radio Network, airing on 105.3 and 107.7 FM in New Orleans. We are streaming on all the popular platforms every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join me for a candid and thought-provoking conversation celebrating your unique journey because you are worth it. Hello, everyone. I'm so excited to be with you today on this lovely Monday. Welcome to Breaking Norms, Building Dreams. I'm your host, Brittany Ashley, and we are broadcasting live on the United Public Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network, 105.3 and 107.7 FM in New Orleans. Get ready to escape the routine and join us for the next hour as we break norms and build dreams with Sarah. Sarah, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me, Brett. I'm so pleased to be here.
I'm so excited for everyone to get to know who you are, your journey. Before we dive in, everyone, this is the lovely Sarah, born into a farming family in Southern Ontario. Sarah is a former wilderness guide turned project manager and now a financial wellness coach. She adores the outdoors, fur babies, waking up in a tent or a cozy cabin, getting dirt under her nails in the garden, and she is rarely without a hot drink. Love it. She is driven by her values and transformation, equity, ease, curiosity, and connection. Sarah's mission is to empower people to develop a healthy relationship with their money, understand the systems to avoid a negative impacts, and redefine their money narrative for freedom and ease, which, can we just say, as also women, I find like I'm always trying to figure out how to navigate the financial ease as well. And I get so much anxiety just thinking about finances. I'm not going to lie. I do always hand that kind of over to my husband, but I'm trying to be a little bit more well-rounded in it. So I'm so excited to learn from you today and hear your story more because I already know you a little bit, but tell us more.
Thanks. I've had a very all over the map sort of career path. You know, I started in landscape gardening and then, like you said in the intro, flexed into outdoor recreation, wilderness guiding, and then landed in this sort of like project management construction adjacent role in retail construction. And I found money through healing my own relationship with money. And it came to me unexpectedly. I had been trying for about 5 years before that to really get my shit together with money. And all the things that I had tried hadn't moved the mark for me, right? I had tried someone to help me with structures. I had hired a bookkeeper, and bookkeepers are great, but it wasn't the help that I needed. And then I hired sort of like a mindset money coach, which was all just about the affirmations and the meditations and stuff. And nothing was helping. Nothing was shifting. And it wasn't until I found a coach that got two things. One, really practical. Like, we're going to look at your numbers and we're going to help build a system that works with your life. And then the second piece was to have the actual soft skills to help me through what I now call the financial EQ, like my personal blocks and issues with money. And that really comes up when you do the look.
Yeah.
You know, because I can that's really confronting. Yeah.
Yeah. And I find everyone's completely different. Everyone's so unique. And everybody's going to have their own challenges with money. So not one size really fits all necessarily. So I love that you're like digging into the root of it, because I find there's so many other financial coaches that I've kind of come across. And I find that it's just they're not like really like looking at you as a person, at your numbers too, which I think is really beneficial for you to understand and grow and have that shift.
Yeah, exactly. You really touched on something there, like the personal aspect. I, you know, I am a coach, and you know, I've always sort of been a growth junkie and I love learning. And I've been through all different kinds of experiences with all different kinds of coaches. And I'm very skeptical of any coach that will say, oh, you have to just follow this one way for success. Yeah. There's two things I take issue with that. One is that, it's really constrictive. Mm-hmm. It doesn't allow for, you know, individual styles and strengths to come or to play into that structure. And then the other thing is that one thing might have succeeded for that person, but you know, all of the things that they have done before that mm-hmm. to have had that one thing be the unlock. So, yes, I definitely teach, I have my structure, but there is flexibility within that. And mm-hmm. I also work with clients to make sure they understand how the system can flex, can flex with their specific lifestyles and even how their brains function, right? Like some people mm-hmm. like to be a little more involved. Some people like to be as hands-off as possible. So there's definitely ways to shift within how mm-hmm. how I approach money. Yeah.
Okay, let's say that I'm your client.
Yes. Yeah.
Let's be honest. I probably have so much, but I'm also like self-diagnosed with ADHD. Right. And I find like that comes up a lot for me, like the shopping addiction sometimes, or like certain triggers for me. I don't know if you've have any kind of navigation of working with anybody like that and like breaking things down in a module piece. Can you maybe, anyone else listening? Because I know sometimes like that next week we have somebody coming in to talk about ADHD, specifically a specialist. Yeah. And so I've been like digging into my own self as well and finances and understanding what things are showing up and why.
Yeah. There's a couple of things and, you know, full disclaimer, I'm not a specialist in this area. Mm-hmm. However, having worked with a number of different clients, self-diagnosed or not, or otherwise, there are specific things that I've found that have helped them. So I'll come at it from a couple of different ways. One is, my approach, and this differs from some coaches, is to be as hands-off as possible. Mm-hmm. And so that means that, yes, when we're building out your system and we're doing that look at your numbers, yeah, it's definitely a little more kind of labor and time intensive because you have to like look through the bills and figure things out. But once it's built, like I kind of take it from my own experience. Once I built my system, it's basically I sit down for 30 minutes a month and look at my numbers and that's it. Mm-hmm. And the trick is around having automations. So everything is set up to pay itself. So I'll give you an example. One of the things, one of my favorite hacks for me was when I live in British Columbia in Canada and we pay our electricity through BC Hydro. And normally that would come every other month, a random amount. It would be more in, you know, the summer when you're cooling, while here it's hot, warmer in the, or it's more in the winter because we heat things more than we cool things in the summer. So it would really flex throughout the year. So there's two things that I did. One is I called them up and I said, hey, what's my total expenditure for the year? And can we divide that by 12? So I'm paying the same amount every month. And then can you automatically take that amount out of my bank account? So that was one phone call, maybe half an hour, and boom, everything is set up. And then there's one adjustment they make during the year. Wow. So every year they adjust for any overage or underage. And I purposefully try and pay like just maybe $5 a month more than the average so that there's always an underage so that I'm not caught off guard. But, you know, it's those kinds of things where it's like I literally never need to worry about when my electricity bill is going to be paid. You can set up those kinds of automations with all of your bills, all your subscriptions, and anything going to your credit card, you can calculate those up and then send an automatic payment from your bank account. Mm-hmm. Now, so that's one thing is the automations. The second piece is around having boundaries on your spending. And I don't like using I call it the B word, budget in my world, because there's this like, anyone listening, you're probably like, oh, budget. You know, anytime I say this to people, there's like this total constriction. People shut down because there's this real freedom, feeling of a loss of freedom. Mm-hmm. Like this assumption that you're going to make me sit at home in a corner and not spend any money for the rest of my life. And yes, that is not true. And one of the gifts for me of learning the art of project management is the actual freedom that comes from having a structure. Mm-hmm. I used to think that being organized and structured was kind of not prissy, but rigid librarian, you know, that kind of rigidity. And what I found is that, oh my gosh, when you have a plan, so much of your like mental capacity and your nervous system can just sort of relax because it knows the plan is in place and it knows what's coming. There's always room to flex in a plan, but having that structure there, I actually found more freedom in that than having things like willy-nilly all over the place. So the one boundary that I really, really have found effective for people is, we're going back to, you know, 12-year-old selves, everyone, we're going to have an allowance. And that has actually given me a lot of freedom, because in addition to the automations, like I know where all the money is going every month that goes to different purposes, and whether it's saving or investing or like for things that I'm going to have to pay throughout the year. But then I know that on the 1st and the 15th of this month, of every month, I am getting money to a preloaded cash credit card, and I get to do whatever I want with that money for the next 15 days. And so I have the freedom if I want to go out and spend money on, you know, I don't know, hockey tickets or football tickets, that's fine. But then I might have to like look at where I need to pull back a little for the rest of the time until that the next bit of money comes in. So that's where in my world that the little bit of constriction comes, because the reality is when you get into a good relationship with money, you have a bit of a boundary, and it's actually I like to reframe it and be like, you have respect for the money that you're making, and you're treating it in a way where you're not compromising other parts of yourself. So the amount that you get to live your life is fixed for, you know, these 2-week periods.
Yeah. I like that, because I know like for me, like the amount of anxiety sometimes of not knowing, like on a monthly, like sometimes I'd be like, oh my goodness, we spent a lot of money this month. But then in reality, maybe we didn't even spend as much as I thought, because there's no actual kind of guidance or layout. So trying to even put those boundaries in, I like that kind of process, because then you're able to kind of review and understand exactly what you're spending and then reassess next month.
Yeah. And you said something there too. You know, one of the tactics that works for some people, I don't necessarily encourage it as an ongoing practice, but there's some coaches that will, like, you know, you get your paycheck and then you sit down and you like look at where things need to go for the next bit of the month. And if that works for your brain, that's cool. But for me, tracking every single time I like tap a POS or spend money, that makes my head spin. Like, I don't want to have that much extra administrative work with my finances. So that's why I really, really strongly believe in the automations, and especially for folks out there who are neurodivergent, I find it takes so much of that, you know, mental, that need to focus or that curious, like wondering where things are going to go out of the picture. And you just, you know, I'm getting $500 every two weeks or however much to spend on my life. And that's it. Yes. And I have full control over what I do with that money.
Yeah, I love that. I was talking to, I believe they were more in like insurance. I'm trying to remember what their background was. And they made a comment to me, and it kind of stuck out into my brain with two little ones, that it's important to teach kids at a younger age now. So mine is turning 6 and 3. And just having that kind of that general conversation now and bringing more awareness to it than later to life. Do you have any kind of input on that?
Yes, I do. I'm really fascinated with this, and it's something that I'm going to build more into in my business. But one of the things that I would say to parents is that we first learn about money in the home. Whether we're learning about it from our parents or caregivers consciously or not, right? So I'll start by an example of my family. So my parents gave me, relative to my peers, a very generous allowance. I had to contribute in to the running of the home to get that allowance. So, you know, we had chores. And then in the spring and the fall, I would get a bump up to buy school, like clothes, seasonal clothes. So that was great. And I also had to, so the deal was, because I got this extra money, is that I would be buying my own toiletries, you know, my own makeup by the time I got there, the toys that I wanted to get, all that kind of stuff. So I had to learn to spend within my means. And that was great in a lot of ways. When I, you know, moved out of the house, I was the roommate who always made sure the bills were paid, you know, like it taught me that kind of responsibility. But the one thing it didn't teach me was how to save. It taught me how to spend, you know, within what I was making. And so it was a, it sounds odd, Brittany, but it is a habit to save money. So many of us are used to having money coming in, whether we come from, you know, a tighter or poverty background where like money would come in and go immediately back out to make sure that the utilities are cut off or to buy food or the essentials, right? And for the rest of us, it's like we are inundated with marketing to buy things. So we're really taught to spend money and we're not. Saving is not normalized. So to go back to your question, I would say to normalize saving. So anytime if your children ever get gifts of money from grandparents, okay, awesome. Here's they've given you $10. We're going to put $1 into savings. Just normalizing that. It's incredible the people I've met whose parents or even grandparents in some cases did that. And they are, the couple cases I can think of, they're so much farther ahead because it's just normal for them to set money aside.
Yeah, I like that not really a concept, I guess. It is a concept, I guess, but like to normalize it within everyday life. So like I mentioned, my kiddos just had their birthdays. And so my dad gave them money to go spend and he didn't know what to get them. And I was like, you know what, to make it fun for them too, to pick what they like, let's take them shopping. And so Hudson's still too young. He's three, like turning three. So I'm more or less just teaching him how to stand in line that he has to pay for something right now. Hopefully we can get to the cashier without him freaking out. but with my daughter, on the other hand, I was just trying to teach her, okay, so you have X amount, these items are this amount, and so that equals this. Like, it's probably a lot to take in, but I'm like, as a new parent too, I'm trying to figure out how to educate her as best as I can, because I'm still learning and trying to teach myself of things that I've kind of fell into threshold as well. So I feel like, yes, there's books on this as well, but I'm still learning as I go. So I gave her the money and got her to stand in line. And then we kind of did the process. And it was actually my mom who was like, did you tell her about saving it? And I was like, no, good call. I didn't actually. I was so laser focused on how to get to the line, how much money to break it up. And so she feels confident that way. I didn't even think to mention about the saving part. And I'm should have brought that one up. So it's funny that you brought that up, because I even had that like aha moment. I'm like, yeah, I should have.
Yeah.
Next time, I guess, the past.
Yeah. And it's a subtle thing, but as it becomes normalized, it'll just, you know, it's just the thing that you do when you get money.
Yeah.
But you put some aside. And, you know, it's a harder thing to learn later in life to pay yourself first. because we've got those deep grooves of our habits of like spending. And it's harder to sort of shift the navigation of the ship later in life than it is when they're young. Something I want to go back to that you asked around about in terms of like ADHD, and this applies to everyone. Mm-hmm. And it's something to kind of be aware of with kids too, is, you know, I mentioned before how we're inundated with marketing and like buying stuff and Instagram hauls and all this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And the more I learn about marketing, like it has its origins in propaganda and like Freudian psychology. Like it really taps into parts of us that we're not conscious of, right? So it's pretty insidious. And the interesting thing about our brains is that our self-control, it's like one of those little sand timers, you know, when you flip it over and the sand drains down. So every morning we get up, especially if we have a good sleep, our brains are kind of fresh and we are better able to manage our impulse control. Mm-hmm. That is a muscle that gets like worked and stressed over the day. So at night, we are way less able to have self-control. I want to order the DoorDash or the, you know, Uber Eats or whatever it is. I'm going to hop on Amazon and just like buy stuff. And so it is, the more I talk to people about this, they're like, oh my gosh, I totally do spend more money at night. There's a couple of things, right? One is you can kind of get ahead of that and know that, okay, if I am spending a lot of money on food, and I'll just say, when people do their financial audits and they look at their spending, they are always shocked at how much is going to eating out and ordering in.
Yeah.
So how can you get ahead of that? You know, can you have a grocery delivery? Can you hire some of the food prep programs? There may be a little bit more than buying groceries, but not as much as ordering in food. So what are ways that you can get ahead to prevent, you know, that, oh, I'm home at 6 o'clock and I don't have anything in the fridge, so I'm going to order. Yeah.
Makes sense.
And then the trick for those other impulse purchases is that I use an acronym, HALT, HALT, am I hungry, angry, lonely, or tired? I tack on bored. Am I bored?
Right. Oh yes. Yeah.
Because we don't like feeling discomfort, whether it's emotional or, you know, stress or whatever. And so we'll look for any way to comfort our nervous system, self-soothe, right? That's the term. And there are healthy ways to do that and not so healthy ways to do that. Healthy ways would be going for a walk, meditating, doing some light or vigorous exercise, having a nap.
Yes,
my favorite way to self-soothe these days. Gardening, right? I like gardening. But the unhealthy ways to self-soothe would be shopping, like we just mentioned, dopamine hit, drinking, overeating, Netflix, you know, binge watch. And I don't want to knock any of that stuff. We're all human. And goodness knows I love a good Bridgerton binge watch. But it's about being aware of when we are self-soothing negatively and changing the ratio from like having more positive self-soothing habits or even self-care habits. And those are sort of the bigger, longer big picture things that we do to take care of ourselves, right? The things that take a little bit more effort to do. Yeah. So the therapy, the going to the doctor, committing to the gym membership, all that kind of stuff. And so shopping and these other negative self-soothing techniques are often ways to just kind of keep us from doing the things that are actually going to have positive long-term benefits.
100%. And I, more that you're talking, like, this makes sense closer at the like evening time too, like after pickup of the kids and rushing home. And like, I'm notorious, never, like, even though I work from home, I'm always home.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, I can't get on top of like the dinner making. And I'm like really trying to get ahead. But then I find like I get into that like whirlwind of like, okay, it's just easier to like order out or easily just go into the grocery store and purchase something on the way to get my son because it's, you know, it's just, I don't know, a roasted chicken, which can go a long way, but like those little things that can still add up where you can maybe sit down and budget on a monthly budget. And like, I've been trying to like pre-plan meals too, but I find like it goes out the door.
Yeah. So, okay. So disclaimer, I have not tried this, but I've been sort of watching some of these accounts. You can find them on Instagram. I've never really heard of this, but freezer meals. My family freezer is one that comes to mind, and it is meal planning. But what she does is she does like, I don't know, weeks, if not like a month of meal planning ahead of time. Mm-hmm. All these raw ingredients in freezer bags, seals them shut. And then in the morning, she just puts them in a slow cooker so that the meal's done. So it's like, yeah, a day of prep, a day of work. But then you have, and some of the people doing this have incredible hacks to like save money, and their monthly food budgets are being slashed. I'm like, man, I need to try this. It's just challenging, right? Like cooking for one versus cooking for a family. So that's my challenge.
And I like, we were on it, like when I had my daughter, like we did do the freezer meals and prep. We knew that it was going to be chaos. First time parents didn't know what we're getting into, if we would ever eat again. So I didn't take the initiative to sit down and do it. And to be honest, like even thinking back about it, it was like a lifesaver because especially with a newborn hardly ever sleeping, also breastfeeding, it was nice to just go to the freezer and pop like the self-made burritos that you actually know what was actually put in it because you're picking your ingredients and you know that it's somewhat healthy. What you're getting at the end of it and drop and go kind of situation. So I do love that idea. I've been thinking about it lately just to do those freezer meal. What was the name of it again?
One that came to mind was My Family Freezer. Okay. But if you just do a hashtag search on Instagram, like hashtag freezer meals, I'm sure you could get a whole bunch of different accounts. And everyone kind of focuses on something different, you know, if you have different dietary needs and stuff like that. But my challenge is time, right? Like I work full time and I do this on the side. And, you know, I have to do everything myself. So I'm actually looking at hiring right around the corner from me. There's a nutrition school. So I was going to see if I could hire a student to like make a plan for me and like put that together. So, you know, even though that's spending money, it's done consciously because the other phrase that I like to remind people of is spending time. You know, time is something that is fairly limited for a lot of people, and to be really conscious of how we're, you know, pun intended, spending our time. And so there are ways to kind of buy back your time if you can afford it in your budget. Mm-hmm. And getting these like meal prep or getting, you know, clean people in to help clean, that is one thing that you can do to buy back your time.
And I find too, like in nowadays, I feel like we're all super stressed for time. No, it doesn't matter if you have a family or not. Like we're always on the go 100% of the time. Just go, go, go. And so I feel like a good chunk of us, when the meal time hits, it's just easier to go out and buy something. It saves time. I know even too, like when I was in a 9-to-5, I don't know, maybe I'm just like one of those people that doesn't like to cook any. I used to cook so much.
That could be too, right? And one of the, I'll flip into like values too, because that's such an important piece of my work and creating, you know, spending plans and how you're working with your money around your values. And so if say having nutritious food is part of your values, but cooking it is not.
Yes.
You know, how there are ways to work that in. So maybe, you're going to have, your budget is going to be a little bit more than just buying groceries and cooking it yourself, because you're going to like pay for some extra services. But again, where's that middle ground from like ordering every single meal in to just having to go to the grocery store yourself and buy everything, right? There's all these sort of middle ground from like grocery delivery to, you know, some basic food prep to full meal prep as well. So,
yeah. And like, my neighbor really loves to meal prep and she does it every Sunday. She gets food delivered and on the Sunday, like she has it mapped out. So it only takes 2 hours to really just more or less cook lunches and dinners. Yeah. Like, so she's really mapped that out. And like, we started the process to go do this together. I think it lasted 2 weeks.
Right.
But I felt like it was just starting to get overwhelming for me. And so that's kind of, I think that's where like, when I get too overwhelmed or overstimulated, then I kind of shut down. And then I just, I like more like go in the flow of the chaos. And I think that's like part, mm-hmm. maybe part of the dopamine, I don't know, with the ADHD. Yeah. I'm like the self-diagnosed piece there. But I'm really hoping like this year to kind of like tap more into it and be more aware of it and know when those triggers are for me. So then I can switch my mindset or be more mindful of it and how I can navigate through it than just kind of like brushing it off.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I said earlier, you know, working on your money is confronting. Mm-hmm. And I will say that, you know, anytime we have to stop and address any of our habits or patterns can be confronting, yes. which is why we keep looking to distract ourselves and self-soothe. Mm-hmm. So part of the practice and, you know, what I really encourage people in my work to do is remind themselves. So change is not easy. Yeah. You know. Change is hard, like I said, especially as adults, and we have like these deeply ingrained patterns and habits often coming from unconscious sources or traumas, big or little. And it's really important to have so much self-compassion for ourselves. And some of the phrases that I encourage people to use are like, I am learning to, you know, dot, dot, dot. I am learning to manage my money better. I am learning about financial literacy. I am, you know, learning to trust myself with money and not expect ourselves to go from 0 to 100% yep. tomorrow. I sort of talk about it as a learning arc, right? There's like at the beginning of the arc, or like think of it a rainbow, the beginning, the one side of the rainbow where we become aware that we have something to address mm-hmm. in our lives or a habit we want to change. And then something will happen. We'll get into a situation where that behavior would normally happen again. And maybe it does happen again. Mm-hmm. I think, oh crap, you know, the thing happened, I failed. Well, no, you didn't. You're still aware and it mm-hmm. happens again. You kind of catch yourself partway through the behavior and you can kind of backtrack a bit. And eventually you'll catch yourself earlier and earlier in the process until eventually you don't do it hardly ever at all.
Yeah.
You know, and just having so much compassion for yourself along the arc of that journey. Yes. And not because perfection is a myth.
Yes.
Perfection is something that keeps us trapped and, you know, victimized. And guess what? No one's perfect. Literally no one is. So please don't expect it from yourself.
Yes.
I
find that we put so much pressure on ourselves. Well, just kind of like looking at New Year's resolutions a bit. Mm-hmm. I find that's always the thing when New Year's comes around and everyone, like the biggest one thing that usually everyone sets for themselves is I'm going to go to the gym. Oh, that's interesting. Just gave everyone a thumbs up. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to go every day or like just really high expectations. But the thing is that I personally don't even like to do New Year's resolutions. I think I mentioned this in one of the shows previous. Mm-hmm. What I actually like to do is think of when it's more or less my birthday. Okay, what have mm-hmm. I kind of accomplished here? Maybe it's not the gym. Maybe it's just going out more frequently. I don't know if I told you, Sarah, but we got a new puppy. You know, keep things interesting here. We got a husky, a shepherd. So he is so vocal. But the one thing is, that he helps me get out of the house to do those walks. And not necessarily everybody can go out and get a puppy, but unfortunately we lost our pup before Christmas. And I just felt the kind of like that loss of like, okay, I've had her with me since 2017 when I started working from home, and it just didn't feel normal. So I couldn't wait to get another dog. And we came across, his name is Koa. He's such a cutie. But we came across Koa and I was like, okay, I feel like let's just adopt and see how he does. And he just fit right so into the family. But I've noticed with him, I've been able to get out so much more and help me change that mindset of feeling, because I felt very anxious walking by myself on the trails here. For those that not are listening, I'm from Victoria, BC, and we have like this trail called the Goose Trail. And there's just some things that have been known to happen to women on the trail. And so I just have a lot of anxiety towards being by myself. And so that's why I always love to have a dog beside me to kind of go for those walks. But going back to that like mind shift of like just maybe not to have those expectations of going to the gym or financial, that I need to be like financially aware this month and really have a budget. Because I feel like when you start putting a lot of pressure on yourself and then you end up buying that $5 coffee, because I know sometimes I do that and I'm like, oh, I did the $5, but now I've broken my idea of what this needs to be this month. So I'm just going to go out tomorrow and buy another $5 coffee.
Yeah. It's so, first of all, Atomic Habits by James Clear is one of the coolest books I've ever read, or well, in my case, listened to. Yeah. I love listening to nonfiction audiobooks, but there's a lot of great suggestions in that book. A lot of what I'm about to say comes from that book. And one is that the reason New Year's resolutions are so popular is because there is a certain amount of success that happens when we have fresh starts in life. Mm-hmm. So often those can be really good and effective times to start a new habit. New Year's, as you say, birthdays. Another one is going away to college, moving to a new town, because, you know, no one knows you. It's new context. You're literally creating new patterns and new habits, you know, even how you're moving through the city, everything's new. So there is merit to, you know, why people do resolutions in the new year. But to your point, often we'll overdo it and we'll expect too much of ourselves. Mm-hmm. So the concept in Atomic Habits is you start really micro. And the other piece is around, this isn't from the book, but I sort of looped it in, but this concept of reframing success. So if we're going to use the gym example, like, okay, I want to go to the gym because I want to, you know, lose 20 pounds or bench press. I don't know. What do people bench press? Like 200 pounds or do a pull up, say, right? Yeah. So, you know, you go, I don't know how long it would take, but success, if we're only viewing success as when we can actually do that thing, we're actually missing some really powerful brain science, because success is actually every single day you go, because mm-hmm. success doesn't, that might be the goal that you're shooting for, but success is really every single day that you went, those like micro little things that stacked one on the other, on the other, on the other to get you to that point. And then when you can finally do the pull up, you're not going to stop going to the gym. You're there. Mm-hmm. You're going to keep maintaining it. So it makes it easier and often more motivating if, like in your case with Koa, to be able to say, well, instead of being like, I'm going to walk 10K every day, I'm going to go with my dog for 30 minutes every day. And that mm-hmm. becomes way more doable. And the compounding benefits over time are so, so beneficial. Side note, I had a husky shepherd for 10 years named Keto.
Aw. Yeah. They're so cute.
Oh, they're great. It's a great combo.
Yes. I can't, everyone thinks you're so crazy, but I call him Giraffe because he's just like, he's just so long and lanky.
Yeah.
We're just such a different kind of breed from our other dog, but I just, yeah, they're just so much personality too. Just love them so much.
So much sass. Yeah.
So much sass. Yes. So much sass. I know you've kind of talked a bit about like the nervous system and self-regulation. And then you also kind of mentioned the EFT tapping.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want to dig a little bit in on that a bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So I feel like EFT and slash tapping has become more mainstream. But for anyone out there listening who doesn't know about what it is, EFT stands for Emotional Freedom Technique. It's commonly known as tapping, and that's how I call it in my world, because EFT actually is an acronym in the financial world as well. So I find it's confusing. But it's called tapping because we're literally tapping on different parts of our body. So if you're watching on video, like I'm tapping, you know, the top of my head, and I can tap the inside of my eyebrows, my temples, and there's all these different points that we tap on the body. And it's associated with different energetic meridian points from Chinese medicine, and it combines that with like verbalizing. And there's so much science around the benefits of verbalizing things that stress us out. That's why you know, women talk to each other. That's why talk therapy is beneficial, because there is some literal benefit in terms of just expressing. And so there is a system to it, but you know, basically you're tapping through things that are causing stress or anxiety or something in your nervous system. And it's actually an incredible tool to help calm the nervous system, to help shift negative belief patterns. And like it's proven by science now. It's been so well studied. Dr. Peta Stapleton is one of the foremost researchers into EFT tapping. And the thing I love about it is that once you learn it, you don't need a practitioner to do it. You can actually use it yourself. And so as a financial coach, I'm like, anything that I can share with people that is free, that they can use to regulate their nervous system, and, you know, bring calm and awareness and like, again, like shift that mental state, I just love. So yeah, I became an EFT practitioner a couple of years ago now, and I use it in my work. I do free monthly tapping calls called Tapping Into Wealth. And we just tap on mindset stuff and work with kind of what's in the room, what's coming up with people. And yeah, my hope is that by coming, people will sort of learn the pattern. You can also, like, it's very readily available on, you know, YouTube, and there's lots of practitioners doing it online too. So I'm certainly not the only one, but yeah, highly recommend checking it out. Yeah.
I didn't know that's what it was called, because I was taught how to do that a long time ago when I was younger, actually. And I was like, this is ridiculous. What am I doing? And now that you explain it, I'm like, oh, that's the thing, is like, you need to explain it more and what the benefits are, other than you just need to do it because of just cause.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And it does look a little silly, right? But we don't, you know, you don't have to do it in public. This is something you can do in the privacy of your own home. And what I have learned along the way is that whenever we're trying to learn something new, it's not normal for us. So it does feel silly. It does feel a little bit like, but you know, driving cars might seem silly to people who have never seen a car. So, you know, it's just perspective and focus more on the results that you're getting as opposed to what you think people might think in the moment. But yeah, I don't know.
I love that though. I never even thought of incorporating something like that into just, well, financial wellness and just all the things, right? I feel like you can kind of bring that in a little bit in different areas of your life. And somebody with, like, I have such high anxiety all the time. So I feel like that would be so beneficial. Like, I've been told, I bet you my mom's listening right now and she'll probably call me after the show. But more or less along the lines of like going for meditation or for meditation, yoga, like anything that just kind of like releases the stress. But I think really it's important to also find what you feel comfortable with. And me is like going out for a walk. I love hiking. So like I'd rather do that. That's to me is more like meditation state. Yeah. And so I feel like anybody listening, try to find that makes the most sense to you and try to see how to incorporate those into your lifestyle.
Yeah. Now I love meditation, and I will say that I don't do the kind of meditation where I have to sit still on a pillow for 15 minutes because, and I remember hearing a monk talk about this at some point. I can't even remember when or how long ago, but the comment was that meditation is not made for the Western world, right? Yeah. We are constantly overstimulated, and our nervous systems, literally everyone, they are designed for the life that, like the world that we were living in 30,000 years ago. Our nervous systems are not made for rapid fire, social media noise. Like it's, we are in a very constant state of overstimulation and dysregulation. And so the reason I'm glad you mentioned walking meditation, because walking can be an incredibly meditative experience. There are actually walking meditation techniques you can do, but that's the other. So the kind of meditation I do is I'll usually do a guided meditation so that I'm listening to someone else's voice inside my mind. Because if I try and sit down and sit still for 10 or 15 minutes, I will feel like a failure at the end because I can't get my mind to turn off. And so then I get discouraged. So just reframe what meditation is for you. And I'm going to loop this back a little bit to money. And because one of the things that I really try and encourage people to do is whenever you're starting your money journey, however that looks, is I want people to have a different internal state when they're sitting down with their money. So I have my monthly money date on Saturday mornings because I've usually had a fantastic sleep, right? I slept like usually 10 hours. I have the whole weekend ahead of me. I'm so relaxed. It's part of the time of the week where my stress is the lowest, and I make a wicked hot drink or two. It's very odd that I only have one drink beside me. and I'll just, you know, spend my half hour or whatever on my money. And it's really about training your nervous system to start having a different internal state when you're working with money. I always tell people, if you're sitting down at a desk and you're feeling tight and anxious and frustrated, go do something else. Like, I don't want you trying to look at your money and deal with anything financial when you're in that state, because you're just reinforcing that physiological state and that association with money and finance.
Yeah. I like that you bring that up, because it's so true. Even like in business, like the one thing I knew that I had to really outsource was like the bookkeeping piece and accounting piece, because that just gives me instant anxiety. And even like when I see my sister-in-law, who's my bookkeeper, messaging me being like, did you do this? I'm like, oh, dying inside. I don't want to see this right now.
Yeah.
I'm like, what do you mean you do this? And I go in instant like anxiety, stress. And it's like, I even said to my husband, like, this part of just thinking about it is not the fun part for business. I like the other stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe having like a mindset swift. it's not necessarily scary anxiety, or like maybe start asking myself questions of why I'm having that switch.
Exactly.
When those things come in, then going right into a state of panic or a state of anxiety and state of stress, start asking myself, like, why is that coming up for me?
Nailed it.
Yeah. And just really kind of maybe it's my responsibility to have more curious questions too with my bookkeeper, or more curious questions with the accountant and so forth. But then also more curious questions for myself to kind of take that step back and have that breath. We had someone else on the show, and we were talking about breath work and the importance of breath work. Yeah. And I'm known, because I've worked with physiotherapists, to not fully breathe from the diaphragm. So my breath is also very short. And so when I'm have that instant anxiety, like I'm still, then it's just like very short again.
Yeah.
More.
Yeah.
So learning to take those steps back and have deeper breaths will help me calm probably my nervous system a bit more.
Well, you speak very vulnerably and truthfully about something that I see all the time. And that mm-hmm. is that, and this is why I love the kind of financial self-awareness and the financial, what I call EQ part of my work, because mm-hmm. anyone can go and get like literate anytime, right? There is we have Google. Google's the Oracle. You can find anything you want on Google. Plus we have ChatGPT now. And so anyone can get literate all the time, but it's the why. Why aren't you? And that's the piece that I love to dig into with my clients, because yes, of course I teach literacy. Yes, of course I teach the systems, but alongside that, I teach the self-awareness piece, because money is always going to trip you up. You know, I've been at this now for 5 years, and there's always a learning edge for me, because I'm like, I'm going way into deeper stuff now, right? Like I'm learning all kinds of new things, and there's always an edge, and I always have to be like, okay, this is just my learning edge, and this is how I'm reacting to it. And it still takes me 3 times to read. Like I'm currently diving into way more about business financials right now, which is a whole different world than personal finance. And I'm like having to read things 3 times, which is exactly where I was 5 years ago learning about personal finance. So I'm going to kind of go back to this compassion piece, but it's about being comfortable with being uncomfortable, because anytime we're pushing into something new, there's that piece that we're going to bump up against, and ultimately it's ourselves. And the reason I'm so passionate about helping people heal this relationship with money is because money is what I've come to believe. So money is not the system. The system is a racket. I'm not going to sit here and preach that it's not. There's a lot of corruption. There's a lot of BS. And, but the system is corrupt, not money itself. The failings of the system are the failings of people and ego and greed. Money itself is an actual really beautiful exchange, right? We go back to the real foundations of money. It was literally exchanging value to value between two people. So there was mutual benefit, mutual understanding, and it was a really beautiful exchange. So with our money that we make, we exchange it for the energy that we output in the world. So, you know, you go to your 9-to-5 job, you effort in whatever way that looks like, and you get money for that. You've expended energy. So that money in your bank account is you. It's your energy. And so part of why I call my business Sacred Wealth is because it's really about recognizing the value in ourselves and why we need to have value for the money that we make and how it's being used in our lives, how we're keeping it, how we're making it, how we're keeping it, how we're growing it, how we're spending it. Because spending it can change, how we spend it can change the world. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I love all of that. I have your freebie up. Do you want to tell everybody what your freebie is about, who's kind of watching on YouTube and listening, just so they can go and download what you have?
Oh, the freebie. Yeah, the free resources. So there's a few there. One is like I said, I have the free monthly tapping call. So we just had one on Saturday. I alternate them between Saturday mornings and Thursday evenings every month, just to help with time zones and life schedules. But you only have to sign up once, and you'll get a reminder for each call. And then you also get access to any of the previous calls. So you can listen in, and the topics are usually there, what the call was about. So that's one. Another freebie is a free money date checklist. So if you want to start looking at your money every month, I've kind of put down the process that I go through. Now it assumes you have a few things in place, but if you don't, you can even kind of just download it and see, okay, this is a place where I can get to, or, you know, take a few steps to even move forward and like look at the balance in your bank account, look mm-hmm. at your credit card balances and see if there's any fraudulent charges. So there are things that you can do to start spending time with your money every month, because it is a relationship and we foster the relationships in our life that we care about. So
that's true. You, when you say like it's a relationship, I'm like, oh
yeah. I know. And so many people are like, they kind of like, oh, because it is confronting work. And I don't say that to discourage people from doing it. I love that part. I love helping people in those tough moments, mm-hmm. being like, oh man, like, yeah, it sucks. And like, let's move through it really quickly, because guaranteed, y'all, you're spending more energy resisting than it will be to actually move through the discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to money, literally there's a return on investment of dealing or not dealing with it.
Yes.
So,
yeah. Love that. I'm just looking at our time here. Do you have any last piece of advice for anyone listening, or how they can contact you? I know I have your website here.
I'm on Instagram at Sarah Sacred Wealth. I am happy to DM with anyone if you have any questions about my work. I know there's lots of, you know, fun and interesting and factual content on my Instagram mm-hmm. if you're curious about what I'm about. And if you're curious to get started, if you're not ready to dive in right away, just start putting money more in your awareness. You know, can you like delete a few cat accounts and follow a few money coaches? Can you maybe download a book about money and like, or listen to some audio, like podcasts or audio books? Just start getting it more familiar in your nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like trying not to like shock anyone's system, because often that can like be a deterrent, but yeah, just ease your way in.
Love that. It's true. Somebody who's like, just even having this conversation, like I love it, but the other part of me is like,
yeah.
It's the topic too. Like even to like, it's something I've always said that I wish schools and all that should have brought more forward, because maybe that would have helped change my mindset. But you know, I did go to university and got my BBA, and one of the courses was finance, and it actually helped me open my mind a lot more. But I definitely know that there's a lot of internal work that I need to overcome as well.
Yeah. You don't need to be like, I'm not an accountant, right? I almost failed my university economics class, everyone. Like, you know, personal finance does not require a rocket science degree. It is fairly basic. It's just getting over that hurdle of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe so strongly in that. And of course, that's why I do what I do. So
I love it. Well, thank you, Sarah, for coming in today. And thank you for everyone listening. I know there was a chat there, but we didn't get to it because we were just having so much fun on the.
I know. I didn't see any questions.
I would love for you to come back and we can chat more. We can talk more about the different courses you have. And thank you to the United Public Radio Network and the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. Next week, we welcome Kendall to the show, and she's an ADHD specialist, and she has toolkits for parents and also toolkits to help children. So please listen next week. With that, please remember your journey is unique and your worth is unquestionable. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.